Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. We're going to spend the rest of the hour talking about words. These days, we're writing to each other more and more. Slack channels, texts, emails. Occasionally, us olds will pick up the phone. How we communicate may be more important now than ever before with people in vulnerable states and all of us dealing with isolation. Terry Short, a leadership coach, believes the words we use have great power to affect our relationships and our lives. She's the author of The Words We Choose, Your Guide to How and Why Words Matter. And she writes about how our word choice can affect our own success. And she offers some tips for a few words or phrases we might think about retiring, at least for a while. Terry, thanks so much for joining us all the way from New Zealand, where it's actually Thursday morning. So good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Allison.
Listeners, join the conversation. Do you have a word or phrase that you are trying not to use anymore? Or perhaps a new word or phrase you're trying to use more? Give us a call to explain. 646-435-7280. Or you can tweet to us at All of It WNYC. Terry, you have this great exercise right at the top of your book. And you're writing about thinking about word choice. And you said we should get a clear sense of what our personal values are. And the exercise is this. You tell us to read our last two texts, emails we've sent, and review our last two conversations we've had. What are we looking for by doing this?
Well, you're looking for the tie to your values. So often we exist in our head. And so there are thoughts in our head, and then there's what's in our heart. And if we use, and we want to connect those things properly for what comes out of our mouth, if we use our values as that filter, then we're speaking with intention. So when you look back at how you're communicating and your text, any conversation that you had, was your intention served by your word choices? That's what you're digging into to determine.
The shift of one word can make a big difference. You write about having to do things versus getting to do things. What impact does that shift in word choice have on others and on ourselves?
Allison, I think that's one of the biggest ones, actually. It's such a change in perspective to consider what you get to do as opposed to what you have to do. Have to implies a burden, an obligation, and that's not always the case. So, easy example, I get to pick the children up from school. You know, think about those who didn't have their children going to school this past year, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're inclined to say, I have to pick the children up. And when we say that, it implies that burden. And the reality is we come from a place of gratitude when we consider what we get to do. In a healthcare setting, we get to keep our patients safe by implementing this new safety rule, as opposed to we have to. So you start to feel the gratitude that's implied when you switch to the get-to framework or perspective.
Especially in the light of it being a year into the global pandemic, why do you think we should eliminate the word if from our vocabulary, and what should replace it?
Well, we've had an entire year of doubt and limitations, and that's what if does. It still keeps us, it holds us in this place of doubt and diminished possibilities. When we switch that out and offer when we get to travel again, when we visit our loved ones, that's more hopeful, it's more inspiring, and that's really what our intention is. It's just we choose if at the last minute sometimes as a place of doubt and a lack of assurance. Our word choice, changing it up to when, asserts that this is possible and it is hopeful.
My guest is Terry Short. The name of her book is The Words We Choose, Your Guide to How and Why Words Matter. Let's take a couple of calls. Let's go to Willa in Brooklyn on line 3. Hi, Willa. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. Yes. So I have been thinking a lot about this, and I think going into the new year, I'm trying to eliminate or use less the binary pronouns. That I found that it's actually not always necessary to refer specifically to he or she. And can I replace them with someone's name more often, or refer to them in another way? Do I always need to rely on using he or she?
And I want to ask you a question, going back to my first question to Terry. What do you think that signals about your values?
I think it says that I'm not characterizing a person based on whether or not I would assume their gender, and that I would rather say your name and let you speak to your own identity.
Willa, thanks for calling in. Let's go to Pete from Chelsea online. To Pete, thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's
great.
The word? What word are you thinking about get rid of?
Oh, my God. I was just telling the guy who answered the phone, the incorrect use and the misuse of the word literally is figuratively driving me up a wall. I've spent hours discussing this with my daughter, and she continues to use it, and I don't know where she got it from, but everyone uses it. Here she is.
Hi. So my friend will usually say, oh, my God, our inbox is literally skyrocketing, and then my dad will give both of us a huge talking to.
Your inbox is not skyrocketing. If it was skyrocketing, you would have blasters, and it is figuratively skyrocketing. That's my biggest issue. I have many issues, though. I also can't stand the word a disconnection or disconnect when people talk about a disconnect between. Mm-hmm. How much work is it just to say disconnection? You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
Pete, you sound like a good dad. Thanks for calling in. Dan on Twitter said, the word I use too much and try to find an alternative for every day is absolutely, all the time. Absolutely, all the time. Terry, I have more questions for you, but I'm just curious. Do you have any comments on anything our listeners have said so far?
I do. For Pete and Dan, those fall into the category of what I call audible tics. You know, we develop these audible tics, these go-to words or phrases that they're really more of a reflection of a habit that we have and not what we're intending to say.
I want to ask you about a word that I have been trying to remove from my emails. It's the word just. I'm just checking in to see if this happened. I'm just dropping by. How does this get employed and diminish whatever it's qualifying?
It diminishes anything that it comes in front of, right? It means barely. It means barely. It's a minimizer. Mm-hmm. And particularly when someone uses it before their job title or their contribution in the world, I'm just a nurse. When I worked in healthcare, I thought, gosh, if I hear that again, you're an essential part of the healthcare team. And so that minimization serves no purpose, and it certainly doesn't serve one's sense of self. So if the perpetual use of just chips away. It chips away at one's self esteem and their own sensibility about what they contribute, right? So it serves no purpose. So it's just, here's my best way to explain it. We think about glass half empty, glass half full. And everyone will agree that when you have the perception of glass half full, that's optimist. And, you know, you're being more assertive. You're being more positive. Let's say the glass is just half full. Now you've minimized that. Now you've reduced that optimism.
Julia on Twitter says, I want to start using words that expand on or is more or more specific than great, my overused word. Please don't suggest awesome because few things are. Let's go to line five, Kolita on line five from Harlem. Hi, thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you? In deference to the dad that was on earlier, if I ever hear the word unprecedented again, I will literally and figuratively explode. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. Black Lives Matter has always should have always been a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Bad politicians, that's happened before. Plagues. And every time you turn on the news, everybody is like, well, this unprecedented event, it happened yesterday. Enough.
I'm sending you a virtual high five from downtown to uptown. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Terry, what are some other, we only have a few minutes left. I'm curious some other words or phrases you think we should retire or worth retiring that really might help our everyday lives.
Well, the word but. Well, we'll retire but and we'll say yes and. When you say but, you sever the conversation. You're truncating whatever came before. And it is possible to completely eliminate the word but and offer, you know, even if it's something that you think can't happen, we will do that. You want to say, we will do that, but we'll need more resources. There's that but. You can say, we will be able to do that job and we'll have an opportunity to assess resources. So it's a yes and. It's more affirmative. It can be more collaborative. It presents a can-do position that you hold. And I'll end with the one that's been more of a pet peeve for me as a leader, and that's I think. Now, if you're saying I think because yours is one of many opinions, that's one thing. But if you're offering some specifics, some direction, and you lead with I think, you can just eliminate that. I think we'll meet our fourth quarter goals. We will meet our fourth quarter goals, right? So it's a matter of considering what your intention is. What is it you're trying to impart? How can you tie your message to your values? So that's your heart, your head, and then practice the pause, and what comes out of your mouth matches your intention.
Jack on Twitter prefacing the sentences with so I'm going outside, we need to get rid of that. Mina from Montclair says, use your welcome instead of no problem. And Henry in Harlem told us he's trying to stop saying you guys. The name of the book is The Words We Choose, Your Guide to How and Why Words Matter. Terry Short has been our guest. Terry, thank you so much for joining us and for writing this book.
Allison, it's been my happy dance of the day. Thanks for having me on.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.